This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today I have with me Mr. Egg Ka Yi, Managing Director of Ucrest Berhad, formerly known as Palette Multimedia. Now, Ucrest Berhad's main product is iMedic, which is a software application that stores medical records from multiple devices and also provides online consultations between registered doctors as well as patients. Now, first of all, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Lynn. Glad to be here.
So with the use of this software, you've made a claim before that this could actually reduce a patient's medical cost by up to 70%. What was the basis for that claim?
Well, the system is pretty revolutionary to the entire healthcare industry. It's not just reducing the cost of the patient, but it's reducing the cost of the overall healthcare systems. If you have a patient who is a cardiac patient, meaning they have hypertension or some form of heart disease, they pretty much have to go and see a doctor and take the medication the rest of their life. High cholesterol pills, high BP pills. Now, on a regular basis, they are supposed to go see a doctor. Depending on the countries, the doctor can prescribe only for 2 or 3 months drugs. They need new data, recent measurements of the patients. So therefore, the patients are required to go back to the hospital or the clinic to see the doctor every 2 or 3 months. Now, to do that, then you got this whole process of registration of the patient, making appointments, and you schedule the patients to see a doctor at a certain time. And after that, they still have to queue up at the pharmacies to go through the whole process, right? So for a public hospital, then, of course, in the context of Malaysia, they don't pay anything. They pay the 5 ringgit to register. But in many places, they still have to go through a payment process. Typically, a patient would then end up spending 2 to 3 or 4 hours, depending on the hospital that they're going to. And obviously, the doctor also end up spending 5 to 10 minutes most of the time to determine whether the patient has been doing fine or just maintaining status quo, right?
Whether their medication needs to be adjusted.
Right, exactly. If iMedic is applied in this case, that means the patient actually don't have to come to the office, to the clinic. Patients have medical devices. These are wireless devices. They can have multiple devices.
And these are specifically produced?
These are produced largely by big brands. For example, Omron is the one that we supported initially. There are many other devices that's out there. For example, the ECG, the CPAP machines coming from Philips, coming from many other brands of devices that's out there. Back to my cardio patient's story. They need only the blood pressure monitor. They need ECG and oximeter that measure the oxygen level in the blood. Mm-hmm. So if they take this measurement on a regular basis, meaning daily or even every other day, that's much better than seeing doctor once than take it once in 3 months, right? Mm. Now you don't have to visit a clinic. They also don't have to spend time in a hospital registering you and collecting payment, all that process, you skip all that. So doctors just need to go online, look at the data, and if it's normal, nothing else serious, then you're not even required to come in. The doctor can then prescribe immediately.
Right.
Once it's prescribed, then the hospital or the pharmacy can actually send you the drugs to your house also.
Okay. I'm curious as to how secure this data is. And when I ask about security, I'm asking from kind of two perspectives. On the one hand, obviously, is concerns about our data getting leaked elsewhere. That's one part of the question. The other part of it would be, how easy would it be to falsify that data? What kind of safety measures do you have in place with iMedic to prevent that sort of a scenario in the case of pharmaceuticals abuse, for example?
We use the so-called blockchain technology in the systems. Blockchain technology is to provide security data such that data are immutable. So it's not changeable, that's one. So that's how you protect the integrity of the data, that's one, right? The data most of the time is also encrypted that you cannot actually see and understand what the data is. Now, we don't actually host our own cloud. We use clouds that is already out there. For example, the Microsoft Cloud or the Google Cloud or the Amazon Cloud. So depending on the countries, we choose the best cloud, most of the time, two clouds in that specific country. Say, for example, in China, then it's on Alibaba and AWS.
You've also in the past highlighted just two main growth drivers for Eucrest going forward, and that would be the iMedic partnerships with A, pharmaceutical companies, and B, insurance. Now, in terms of the pharmaceutical companies that you're tying up with, I mean, the concern here would be that iMedic may perhaps push certain pharmaceutical brands rather than offering, say, generic alternatives that might be available at your regular walk-in pharmacy.
We don't actually do any of those marketing. Even the patients, mm-hmm. they themselves don't have the right to what drugs to take, right? When you see a doctor prescribe brand A drugs, brand B drugs, you know, how often that the patients have the right to say that, hey, I don't want this drug, I want something else, right? So we are not actually in the picture of pushing drugs for pharmaceutical company. If you ask me, who are the ones? Actually, doctors are the ones, right? They're the one who's trained on the drugs, then they prescribe those drugs. So we are not. We're just a platform provider. So in terms of the iMedic Pharma modules that we have developed, we have worked with, we actually signed a deal in about a year and a half ago. Then the system is rolled out right now. We have not announced it officially to the market, but the system is already up running and has shown great results. So what the system does is this. It helps the patients to keep track of when to take the drug. So basically, there's a reminder features in the systems. So when doctor prescribe you a drug that you're supposed to take on a daily basis at 9 p.m. or whatnot, the system will automatically remind you to take the drugs on a regular basis, on a timely basis, number one. Number two is to actually keep track of the number of drugs or the inventory of your drugs. Say, for example, you have 90 days of drugs, then it's for 90 days. So we keep track of that. More importantly, the objective of the pharmaceutical company doing all this work, or we are doing all this work in the system, is to help the patients to follow the instruction. So the program is actually called Patient Adherence Program. They call it the mm-hmm. PAP. Now, statistics shows that patients, only 30 to 50% of the time, they're actually sticking to the usage of the drug. It means that, number one, the efficacy of the drug is not there. You're supposed to take the drug on a regular basis. If you skip 3 days and take it again, then the efficacy is not as good, or maybe it's not even effective.
So using iMedic Pharma then, from this 30 to 50%, have you conducted the research to say that maybe patients using your devices adhere to the proper kind of timings for their medication 70 or 80% of the time? You know, what's the improvement ratio?
The improvement is actually amazing, right? So 30% of the time means every 3 days you take it once, right? Mm-hmm. So just by taking 2 days out of 3 days, you're actually doubling it, right? So mm-hmm. That actually improves a lot. The program has been launched for only a few months. We see data coming in that shows the improvement has been doubling, and a lot of times even more than that, right, if the efficacy initially was low. The other thing is that it's also dangerous or risky for patients if the patients are not adhering to it for certain diseases, for example, blood pressure, hypertension patient. The drug typically has the effect of 24 hours or maybe thereabout, right? Now, if they skip 2 days, that means there are 2 days that there's no drug in the body. And what happens to the patient is that the blood pressure might go up for the 2 days. Now, if he or she forgot about this medication, then there's a risk that the patient might get into trouble. For example, might get a stroke, might get a heart attack, right? So if you look at some of those patients who are a cardiac patient who are actually on medication, they still get a heart attack, they still get into trouble, is because they don't actually adhere to the drugs. They skip it, right? They skip because they forgot, actually, right? Many reasons. Sometimes they, a lot of them are old patients, like older patients, they just don't know, right? Some of them are thinking that, hey, I'm taking it on a daily basis, I don't feel anything. Yeah, blood pressure thing is you don't feel anything, right? So they don't think that it's working, or they think that maybe I can skip a couple of times. Those are some of the habits of the patients.
Yes, because human error is one of the biggest reasons
that
medicines and medical devices tend to fail. Mm. And we'll be continuing this conversation about Eucrest Berhad's expansion right after this. I've been speaking with Ek Kai, Managing Director of Eucrest Berhad. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Ek Kai Yee, Managing Director of Ucrest Berhad. Now, earlier we were talking about Ucrest's growth drivers for your iMedic healthcare technology. In November of last year, you also spoke about the fact that you'd actually been in a conversation with the Ministry of Health since May of 2018 about potentially adopting iMedic on a larger scale. And what's the status of those discussions?
Okay, so we have been talking to Ministry of Health since last year. For the government to move, obviously, it takes much longer time than it's always been, right? Especially when the government financially is not doing that great. In the context of Malaysia, we have the best public health care probably in the world, if you ask me. Patients are paying only 5 ringgit to register, and the rest of it is all free, right? So that poses also a little bit of challenges in terms of our business model. So we do charge for the usage of our systems. Mm-hmm. Now, the government has been free for patients. That means patient is not going to pay for it. Right? So that means the government has to pay for it. So at this stage, we're still talking to the government, trying to figure out how we can work that out. We have a complete system now of EMR. The ministry or the minister has announced a couple of times that the country will want to build an EMR for its people. So we already have that, actually. So assuming that even the public hospital are all using a single system, no matter which hospital they go to, which polyclinic or GH they go to, the data continues, they're all integrated there. What if the patients see public hospital doctors here once and tomorrow or next day they go see a private hospital? So for the same disease, for the same week, they probably have seen 2 or 3 doctors in 2 or 3 different hospitals. Now, then their data is not continuous. So ultimately, someone got to integrate that.
So some of the numbers that I have say that you have 20 private hospitals and medical centers right now signed on kind of with iMedic. But that is across 6 different countries. So the US, Japan, Singapore, Taiwan, Korea, and Malaysia. In Malaysia itself, how many hospitals do you have signed on with iMedic?
So we had one last year, and then recently you have signed another one. We expect to sign up a few more in the next quarter or so.
Okay. So how many more roughly?
We expect to have 3-4 more in the next quarter. These are actually medical centers or chain of clinics.
All right.
Right.
All right. So now let's also just talk a bit about some of the other markets that you're in, because I noticed that you do a lot of business, particularly in 2 countries outside of Malaysia. In the fourth quarter of 2019, you saw something like 16 million ringgit in revenue coming from Russia alone. Doesn't that pose a bit of a concentration risk to have so much of your revenue coming from one place and one company particularly?
Well, we like to actually have a wider spread of revenue coming from different countries, but however, different countries develop differently. Now, healthcare is, unlike other industries, is a very regulated business, right? Everything in the healthcare industry is regulated. Devices are regulated. It takes a long time to get it out the door, get it to the market because of all kinds of clinical trial and regulations. Insurance is regulated, the payment part of it. The reason why we get a breakthrough in Russia is because 3 years ago, Russia is the first country in the world that implemented a policy where insurance have to pay for online medical services. That's the key.
Yeah, the subsidized medical.
That's the key, right? Well, 98% of the healthcare there is public. That means government funded, right? You get only 2% of that. So any saving out of the whole ecosystems is a saving to the government, right? I would ask our government to look at it the same way, right? Now, many countries follow the footstep, but depending on the countries, for example, in the US, they would like to do the same thing, except that the policy setting is at the state level.
Yes.
So then you have 50 states, you have to go through everybody to go do that, right? So now I think it's about 20-some states that has the policy that insurance have to pay for online medical services. Now, China is even more challenging. Why? Because it's not even done at the state level, not even done at the city level, it's done at the district level. So that makes it very challenging, right? So we end up doing most of the business in China, still largely private patients, private sectors. Mm. getting through the system there and getting policy things like that to roll out is a bit challenging, right? So in the context of Malaysia, a good thing is that pretty much everything can be done at the federal level. That means the MOH can actually decide, and just like Russia, if they decided to do so, it's just policy setting. Then you can actually boost the healthcare industry moving forward very quickly.
So going into 2020 then, where do you expect to be your main sources of revenue by country, I mean?
Well, we have two sectors of, I wouldn't so call it two sectors, I would call it two dimensions of growth. One is to grow the product line, which we have done from doctor consulting services online to the patients. We call it the D2P area of service. Then we have growth also the pharmaceutical area. And we also have added into the system the insurance, right? Now, different parts of the system are more effective and some are effective in certain countries, some are not so effective. For example, insurance is more effective in the US because almost all the patients are paid by insurance. So our target for our insurance module is actually US. That's the first thing that we do.
So, okay, just another look at your numbers also, because in the fourth quarter of last year, you actually did record a net loss of 2.6 million.
Yes.
And that was unusual in the sense that UQuest has been fairly consistent in reporting net profit up until the fourth quarter of last year. And for the first quarter of 2020, which has been this kind of June to August month, you recovered somewhat. You recorded a profit of 140,000. What was really the reason for this drop in your numbers? Because revenues also took a bit of a dive from 7 million in the third quarter of 2019 to just under 3 million in 2019.
In the public hospital, the money is really coming from government. It's government only, right? Our business right now, the bulk of it from Russia or Russia mainly, is still coming from the government source of funding, right? So when the funding is not there or delayed, then you get a delay, it could push out. So unlike in the commercial or the private sector, they're very much market driven. Those are more consistent. As the market grows, it grows, right? So healthcare is a business that a good part of it is still funded by the government, depending on the countries. So if your revenue is heavily reliant on the public healthcare sector, then your revenue will go a little bit according to the government's funding. So we get this a little bit of the dip on the revenue and also profit because we continue to expand on our R&D. We don't stop. So that caused Q4 a loss that we have last year. And then, of course, last quarter, we recovered a little bit from there.
So do you anticipate further delays, though, from the Russian government going forward?
Well, a lot of this, in the context of Russia or even China, sometimes it's a bit challenging is because they have currency control. Control, not because they want to control, it's because the rest of the world, like the West, the American and the European, they sanction imposed on Russia in terms of the financial industry, right?
Yeah.
So getting money out sometimes is a bit challenging. Also, they need to have the forex. We don't take the local currency, right?
Yes, you do most in US dollar and euro,
right. So
which poses its own problems because the US dollar has been particularly volatile over the past couple of months.
It is. So if you look at our quarterly results, sometimes we have forex gain, sometimes we have forex loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to some extent, you know, our ringgit has also dipped quite a bit, right? So to some extent, some of those numbers are actually inaccurate in that sense when once it's reported in ringgit, because 90-some percent of our business, our revenue is actually foreign. So that means it's dollars.
So how do you hedge then against that forex risk?
We don't actually hedge much because the revenue size that we're currently looking at is not huge. There's a lot of effort to hedge, right? If you do it the wrong way, you could be losing money either. So we mark to the market at the end of the quarter. That's basically it, right? So if there's a forex gain, there's forex gain. There's a loss, then there's a loss.
Now, another question I had was to do with your share price, because I had a look at our Bloomberg terminal this morning, and you're currently trading at 14.5 cents. per share. Not so long ago, you were at 50 cent a share.
57, they peaked. I was...
Yes. Yeah. And so that's been quite a notable spike between 2017 to 2018, because you went from a pretty steady 10 cent a share, roughly between 10 and 15 cent, to 50 cent, 57 cent. And now you've steadily come back down to almost, well, nearly all-time lows. So what has been the reason for this kind of share price volatility here?
The share price took off actually at the 6 cents. There was a 6 cents level for a long time, even though we have announced product, we have announced profits and all that stuff. Then it took off because some funds, some bigger investors start looking at it and bought a big chunk of it. It went from, in a day or so, it went from 6 cents to 12 cents. That created a little bit of attraction. So that's the reason why it went up. And then you got this hurdle effect always. Of course, our revenue and profit was ramping up at the same time, right? So that was the first year or probably first 2 years that we are running on a consistent growth of the revenue and the profit. However, as the company continued to grow profits, the market, the share price came down after 57. I guess there was a time that someone, I forgot exactly who he was, sold the shares and also announced that he offloaded the shares, right? That created a dip on the market. Again, it's a hurdle effect, right? So there's no true reflection of the share price versus the profit, unfortunately, in our market. So in that sense, we run our business, we do our business at our best. We do what we can do, continue to build the business. In terms of managing the share price, we don't quite really manage the share price. We go on roadshows, we talk to investors, we talk to analysts on a regular basis. They make the decision on when to buy and when to sell.
And finally, as a just a last question I have for you, how do you overcome the perception then, the immediate desire for face-to-face contact that a lot of people do have, particularly when it comes to sensitive issues like healthcare? How much of that will you be able to overcome in order to really get iMedic on the map in terms of the Malaysian public?
It takes time, especially when the people in general are very skeptical about technology and refuse to actually adopt technology. I hope the younger generations will pick it up much faster as compared to the older generation. That applies not just to patients, but also applies to the doctors. Right? A lot of the objection obstacle that we see is actually from doctors, surprisingly. Right? Cost is the important factor. Right? You think about this. Online is always cheaper than offline. Don't have a cost of even a retail store, right? So they pass on the saving to the consumer. So likewise, it's the same thing with the healthcare here. Now, if you see face-to-face, the doctor, no matter what they do, they need to spend 5-10 minutes with you. Now, in the US, a GP typically charges $100 for face-to-face. And online, over time, the price for a GP to see a patient online is reduced to about $30. So I think that the cost will be the biggest driver. And over time, the benefits of having it online, a patient can actually manage themselves. And doctor will become just a consultant or advisor at the back end to help you to interpret the data that you gather for yourself.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Mr. Ek. I've been speaking with Ek Kayi, Managing Director of Eucrest Berhad. This has been The Breakfast Grill, and I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.